Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Very glad to be with you. Show 789, I think we're up. No, 779. That's it. We haven't broken that 80 mark yet. So 779. And I'm excited because we have a fellow certified financial planner on the line, Kelly Campbell. He's also a chartered mutual fund counselor, chartered financial consultant, and accredited investment fiduciary, stacked double high, double deep on the credentials. And, you know, for this financial stuff, it is helpful to have these credentials because this stuff can get complicated and stressful at times for folks, especially with what may come down the road. And so I'm glad to bring Kelly on the line to provide some additional discussion and flavor to what we see before us and the ideas of good planning that you can do to prepare yourself for what may come. In fact, one of the things that we noticed was Kelly had recently wrote an article for U.S. News and World Report, How to Prepare for a Storm in Your Retirement Forecast. So the website, CampbellWealth.com, and Kelly's also written a book, a kind of explosive potentially title, Fire Your Broker. And that book, of course, is also available on his website. And so let me welcome Kelly. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Great. Thanks, David. Great to be here.
I'm glad to have you. And I feel like I'm talking to a kindred spirit. I read over what you're doing. I'm like, golly, that sounds really smart. And then I'm like, oh, because I'm doing the same thing. So, but anyway, I like what you're doing. I mean, you know, I think people need the reality wake up call that, you know, we're going into the seventh year of a bull market, but they don't go up forever.
That's very true. Absolutely.
And so with your retirement forecast, so to speak, you know, I love the point you made, which is that, you know, what would you do? And this is something I always am asking people. And because the second part, of course, the answer is going to be really important. What would you do if the stock market were to fall 40%?
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting about that, David, is that it just surprises me how many people are so close to retirement. Again, our audience is working with people 55 plus.
Right.
I'm just amazed how many people don't even have a financial plan. In other words, they've never put that roadmap together just to see if they're going to make it or not.
Yeah, sometimes they retire and say, okay, and they come in. I'm sure you've had this happen. This happens to me sometimes, and it's okay. We'll help them where they are. But sometimes people come and say, okay, I retired last week. Here's my money. So let's figure out how much income I can have.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, in some cases, you find out that, hey, you can't spend what you thought you were going to spend.
Exactly.
Yeah, but other cases, which is nice, we can say, hey, you know what? You can spend more than you thought you could spend.
Oh, those are the fun.
You're in a lot better shape.
Yeah, I like those meetings. Those are the fun ones.
No, without a doubt.
But
so going along the lines of what you said, you know, if there were a 40% downturn in your portfolio, what's nice about having a financial plan is that you can stress test your plan from a portfolio management standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In other words, I could say, okay, what if you tomorrow or in 2016 had a 40% downturn? I can look at that and kind of what I call pre-experience it. And say, okay, if it happened, here's what your future would look like. And again, it's looking at that plan and saying, you know, the plan, if you lost 40%, it's not going to hurt you in the next probably 5 or even 10 years. But the question is, what's going to happen 20 years down the road, 25 and 30 years down the road? And depending on your age, that could be a very important thing. Because, you know, looking at a retirement forecast and saying, with an inflation rate, you know, today you need 70, and in retirement, you know, or not in retirement, but even further out, going in, let's say at age 90, 85, you know, depending on how long you're going to live, you may need 150.
Right, right. Well, you're exactly right. And so, you do need to stress test, pre-test, pre-evaluate the impact. Because, you know, people are like, I'll deal with it when it comes. But if you know what to expect and you have an idea of the impact, it definitely prepares you. You know, the reality, though, is that, you know, and I'm sure you're observer of the markets and the media and all the financial news out there. And as you're very well aware, Kelly, there's all kinds of hyperventilation that goes on among news reporters and the TV talking heads over a 50 or 100-point swing in the market, which is really inconsequential. Can you imagine the response if we had that 40% drop where the Dow shed, 7,200 points?
Well, it could definitely happen. You know, it could happen sooner than people think because we've done so well for so long.
So in to prepare them, I know that you've got some strategies that you've used that you find have been helpful to people. You kind of have a step-by-step strategy. The first one, from kind of looking at your materials, you use kind of what we call a life plan strategy. Talk to us a little bit about that approach.
Well, so first off, you know, retirement is not just about counting the numbers. Although a lot of people end up retiring and, you know, they end up worrying more about the portfolio than having fun in retirement. So the first one, and I always lead with this, this is how to really have the fun in retirement. In other words, what did you plan on doing or what do you plan on doing? It's building your bucket list. Being able to say, okay, when I retire, here are the things I want to do. Because it's interesting how many people will retire from something rather than to something.
Mm.
You know, because think about it. If you're working at a job and you know what you're getting paid, you're really good at your job, you know, you're positive about it, it's really familiar territory. When you retire, it's uncharted territory. And so people are scared to death. Oh, my gosh, I don't know what I'll do without a job or, you know, without somewhere to go every day. And so people would rather stay at work. So, in other words, at some point they don't have that plan that says, this is what I'm retiring to. So it ends up, this is what I'm retiring from. But if you can build that bucket list and all the things that you're going to do and, you know, and really space it out and say, okay, in the first year I want to do these things, in the second year, in the third year, and so forth, you really have some plans, then you're retiring to something, and it becomes much more familiar territory for you.
That makes sense. Yeah, kind of map it out. All right, very good. If you're just joining us, Kelly Campbell, ladies and gentlemen, certified financial planner, CampbellWealth.com, CampbellWealth.com. The book is Fire Your Broker, available on Amazon and other fine stores. And we'll grab a quick break and we'll come right back with Kelly. Stay right there.
Newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. You need to find one who has a greater education with advanced degrees and professional certifications. One with multiple licenses offering a wide range of solutions. One who's independent and discloses his fee structure, like independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist, and chartered financial consultant. With 24 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial for a one-on-one meeting with David at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back. Kelly Campbell on the line with me. Kelly has been featured and is a frequent contributor to Fox Business, The Street, Fox 5 Local News, CNBC, The Washington Post, Kiplinger's, and a recurring blog on Smarter Investor on usnews.com. Happy to have you back with us, Kelly. Listen, you know, I know that you've got a lot of strategies. There's another one that you talk about, which is this financial GPS strategy. I was real curious about that. Why don't you share a little bit about that with us as well?
Yeah, so, David, that's very similar to what we were talking about before. When you start to think about a GPS, you know, think about it in your car. You know, you've got a GPS. A lot of people, you know, have it on their phone. But to go from point A to point B, so let's say, you know, your point A is, you know, you're going from exactly where you are. So from a retirement standpoint, it's your current situation. So the financial GPS says your current situation, your point A, going to the ultimate retirement. And I always take it out to people's end of life, kind of literally to age 95 or 100 for them. Because I'd rather plan for longer than they'll be around because I never want them to run out of money. So now you've got, with your GPS, your financial GPS, you've got your point A, you've got your point B, and now what you do is you build a path to get there. You know, so you can see, okay, based on how much you're spending, based on how much you're making, what the tax rates are, inflation rates, are you going to make it? Mm. And so that's the first question that you ask from that, and it gets answered from that plan itself. And so really, it's a financial plan, but it ends up being a GPS.
That makes sense.
What's nice about that, too, is that it also lets you know what rate of return you need. So in other words, if your plan shows that you need a 5% rate of return, why would you have to invest more aggressively and try and get a 10 or 12% rate of return, where you could end up being in a lot of trouble with a market downturn? You know, so the nice thing is being able to know exactly where you are, exactly what rate of return you need, and if you're going to make it. And then, obviously, you know, with the GPS, everyone's kind of made a wrong turn before, you know, or been detoured. And so the nice thing about the GPS is that once you've got the plan, you can then say, okay, well, hey, I detoured a little bit. The market did, you know, a little worse than I thought it was going to do, or it didn't do exactly what I thought, or, you know, I had an extra expense, had to put a roof on my house. You know, any of those things can come into play, and it can really mess you up a little bit from a planning standpoint. But if you've got the plan in place, you can just say, okay, here's what happened. what's my plan look like? How do I look 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the road?
Yeah, please make a legal U-turn at the next light.
Exactly.
Well, you know, and I guess tying right into this, which is really a major theme of what people are looking for when they're planning their retirement and embracing these ideas, Kelly, is the income strategy. You know, that's the name of the game. That's a lot of what we're trying to do is get that part figured out. And so I like your approach. And again, I'm similar in this regard, is saying, look, let's figure out where we're going to get a consistent stream of income, because when the paycheck stops, the cash flow needs to continue.
That's absolutely true. You think about it, when someone retires, they give up this steady paycheck they've literally had for years, and they go to something that's a lot less certain. You know, there are three sources of really the income stream they're going to have in retirement are coming from Social Security, which is obviously having some problems. It's coming from pensions if they have one. And if they do have one, a lot of corporate pensions are having all kinds of problems. They're not inflation adjusted. And even the government pensions, you know, a lot of state and local governments are having issues. Even the federal government, you know, at some point they could you know, maybe not give as much of a COLA or no COLA at all. And so you start to look at that and say, okay, well, my third leg of the stool is going to be my assets. So it's all the savings, the investments that I have. And what if the market tanks all at the same time? So you're going from a place of certainty to a place of a little less certainty by, you know, looking at the Social Security, pensions, and assets. But if you have an income strategy, you can say, okay, this is how much I'm going to take out. This is where the money's going to come from. At least you've got a plan that says what's going to happen. And if anything happens to any one of those sources, then you can at least put a plan together and say, okay, here's what happened. Here's how I'm going to deal with it. You know, but you know exactly where you're going to get that income stream from. You know, the cash flow you just gave up, you're going to replace it with the amount that you're getting from those other sources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, and again, the ideal, and you're, I know you spoke to this before, the ideal is these are things we're doing the, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years out from our retirement date. Because, you know, there's basically two fundamental approaches people can take, as you know, Kelly. They could say, okay, I'm done. Here's what I got. Tell me how much I can get out of it reliably. Give me some retirement certainty. Or they take a little bit more of a proactive approach and say, okay, here's what I know I'm going to need or want for my retirement income. I've got my bucket list. I know what I want to have on a monthly basis for income. Here's how much I've accumulated so far. Here's how long I'd like to work. Do I have enough? Do I need to put more away? Do I need to push my retirement back? Can I retire earlier? You know, these are the approaches that people can look at. And again, this planning piece that you're talking about really is what allows that to occur.
Absolutely. Very important from a retirement planning standpoint.
Yeah, it's well, this is why you and I do what we do every day, and I love my job, and I'll bet you do you do as well. The investment strategies, you know, one of the things that, you know, people have to get their minds around, of course, also is you're going to have to take some quote unquote money off the table or reposition it to create that retirement income, that income stream that we talked about, and multiple sources, hopefully, to help with, you know, your reduce your dependence on any one. But once you've done that, then you do have funds that, of course, can be dedicated to be more part of the investment piece for longer term appreciation, future lump sum distributions for purposes, and or to address inflation or even leave a legacy. So that piece also becomes really critical after we've identified our income piece.
You know, that's definitely true, and I'm amazed when you start to look at people's investment strategies. First of all, most people don't have a strategy, or it's a strategy that's based on a bunch of tactics. In other words, they tactically chose some mutual funds here, some stocks there, somebody recommended this, they did that, and they end up with a portfolio, so they end up with a strategy that they haven't really chosen. And so we go a step further and say, okay, well, let's not even start with a strategy. Let's start with a philosophy first. Then go to strategy, then go to tactics. So let me explain that real quick. The philosophy we use is winning by not losing. And the reason I say that is because in retirement, you've got to realize that you know, a significant loss can really hurt you and potentially keep you from retiring. So if you lose 100% of, I'm sorry, if you lose 50% of your investments, you don't need 50% to get back to where you started. You need 100%.
Yeah.
So if you start with that philosophy of, hey, I want to put as much focus in winning as much as I do in not losing. And that's a whole different thought process.
That really is, because, you know, while we're accumulating in our working years, You know, it's okay. You hopefully, some people are a little bit more active and focused on this daily, but you know, you kind of ride through some of those rough spots and it's just not as much of a big deal. And if you're putting money into your 401k, those soft spots or drops in the market, you're buying more shares. I mean, you know, but when you're out there and it's time, you've got to hold on to that capital. What are some of your favorite ways to win without losing? Some of the strategies that you like to work with, Kelly?
Well, it's just like you said, you put some money aside for the income stream you're going to need.
Yeah.
You have different, if you think of it as different buckets of money.
Yeah.
You've got your immediate cash need bucket. You've got your intermediate term bucket that you can be a little more aggressive with. And then you've got your long-term bucket you can be much more aggressive with. Because there's also a pecking order on where you're going to, when you're going to take this income, and this would be in the income strategy. You know, in other words, you're going to take, and our rule of thumb is you always take from the least tax-efficient vehicle first. So you're always going to take out of cash and non-qualified assets first, taxable assets first.
Sure.
Then you'll go to qualified, like retirement accounts, 401ks, IRAs. And very last, you'd go to things like Roth IRAs.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the most tax efficient, and you know they're going to give you the best growth, so you can be more aggressive with those because you're not going to touch those for years, if at all. That will probably be the money that goes to, you know, either beneficiaries or charities.
Okay, and then in doing that, alongside the tax component, dare I suggest that we match up our risk level or the aggression that you referred to earlier, how much risk we take and how aggressive we are. That the money that we're using sooner is our least aggressive, and the money we're going to use last is going to be our most aggressive.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And you've got to be thinking along those lines. But unfortunately, you know, we see people all the time. They come in, you know, they've just retired. We actually had a woman come in the other day. She had been working with an advisor for 25 years.
Mm.
She had come to one of my classes, and she said, I want to let you know up front, I'm not going to move my money. I love this guy. He's been working with me for 25 years. And she had retired 6 months ago.
Okay.
So when I looked at her portfolio, you know, I went through everything and triaged the whole plan that she was doing and taxes and all that. And then when I looked at her portfolio, she literally had 100% in the stock market.
Yeah.
And she was already retired for 6 months.
Yeah, but he's a nice guy.
So, and I said, you know, he may have been the guy to get you where you are. He's not the guy for retirement.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for him, he lost the account. So she did come with us. But, you know, imagine if the market would have tanked, you know, a month before I met her.
Mm.
She wouldn't be retired anymore. She'd have to go back to work.
Exactly. And I've seen that too. I saw it just the other day, and it's not the same lady. But it's funny, Kelly, because it's interesting how some of our paths here are very close. Same exact same thing happened, but she's got 1 year to retirement. And I said, well, guess what? You are not staying 100% in the market for the next 12 months. You've got to, your plan will work if we use the money you have now. But if we have a 40% reduction, I used your number unknowingly. I used your 40% drop. And if we have a 40% drop, guess what? It's not going to work. So we got to be more conservative, even if it's before retirement.
Well, and you can even bring back history and look at 2008. In 2008, the S&P 500 was down 38%. You know, so we did have a 40% downturn.
It happens. It happens.
And by the way, that was only that year. We also had issues in 2007 and early 2009.
Exactly.
You know, so if you look peak to trough, the market was down closer to 50%.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Kelly Campbell, ladies and gentlemen, yes, I'm enjoying myself. I like having a kindred spirit who gets it on the line with me. Thank you, Kelly. Kelly Campbell is our guest, CampbellWealth.com. Fire your broker. I have to ask him about the book when we come back from the break. Stay right there.
When it comes to finding a financial advisor you can trust, do you know the right questions to ask? David Holland has written a popular book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy. Or if you want to meet one-on-one with David to talk about your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book with no cost, no obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit PlanStronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back. Kelly Campbell on the line, certified financial planner, chartered mutual fund counselor, chartered financial consultant, accredited investment fiduciary, a fellow overachiever on the certifications, I must tell you, Kelly. You're like me. Hey, listen, I need to know what I'm talking about, and if I'm going to learn it, I might as well get a credential while I'm doing it, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. True. All right, so you got to tell me about the book, Fire Your Broker. What prompted you to write it, and tell me about the response you've gotten, because it's pretty straightforward.
Oh, it's definitely straightforward. Fire Your Broker. There was a couple of things. I wrote it in 2009, mm-hmm. and one of the reasons I wrote it was because it was around the same time Bernie Madoff was doing his thing.
Sure.
And so the first line of the book is, "You can thank Bernie Madoff for this book." it was after a difficult time for a family member as well that I learned a lot about really how important it was what I do. Actually, this had happened before that, but the bottom line is that my stepfather, Richard Alley, had an advisor, a broker he'd worked with for literally two decades. A good friend of his, they did a lot of things together, they just knew each other very, very well. And my stepfather got into a lot of different investments with this gentleman. Everything worked fine for many, many years. And it wasn't just investing in the stock market, but it was also being able to put money into, say for instance, someone was going to open a McDonald's and they needed some upfront cash. My stepfather's money would go in there,
I see.
And and that would be one of their investments. So this broker that they had, got into a lot of different things, but did really well for my stepfather, and he was very happy with it. But at some point, this broker developed a drug habit.
Oh boy!
And the drug habit became an addiction, and you can just imagine what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He started siphoning money out of not only my stepfather's accounts, but about five other people as well.
Mm.
And, when all was said and done, my stepfather lost about 80% of his assets.
Ooh.
Now, by the way, he had already been retired for over 10 years.
Wow.
So think about that, and we've had a lot of conversations. Now, he's since passed, unfortunately, but we had a lot of conversations about that. And one of the things he said, and I remember this conversation to this day, it's just so easy to remember. He said, "Kelly, you're working with people in the kind of the autumn to winter of their lives. They don't have time to go back and earn it back. They need this money. This is going to take care of them in their retirement. It's what they work so hard for."
Right.
He said, so when you work with them, he said, make sure you always do the right thing. And I think that do the right thing is what's missing in our world and a lot of different folks and how they plan for people. The financial services industry, unfortunately, isn't always about doing the right thing. There are a lot of folks that are really just trying to line their pockets.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, doing the right thing to me is all these strategies. It's the life plan. It's the financial GPS, having that income strategy as well as the winning by not losing philosophy. So it really is. So the book is not necessarily about how to fire somebody, but it's really how to hire the right person, what to expect from them, and how to hold them accountable.
Yeah, your proper expectations. And, the thing that I thought of as you were describing all these pieces, and again, a lot of times, it's funny, we start talking about this, Kelly, and people out there listening to this program, they're going, golly, guys, that sounds like a lot of work. And because, what has the consumer been told? Oh, you just push the easy button, right? It's easy. Everything, the mass marketing of every possible solution, every possible want or need you might ever have is an easy button that is pitched by whoever's selling it. But the truth is, this stuff is not basic. Some of it is more involved. It is complicated sometimes, but that is why you hire an advisor. And we can make it easy for you, but there are pieces and parts to this that have to be thought out. It may take more than a 30-minute meeting with me or Kelly to do that. But you know what, Kelly? For people out there listening, buying a mutual fund or a financial product is not the same thing as getting and building a financial plan that will guide you through the rest of your life.
Well, it's kind of like if you think about somebody going on vacation. They'll do more planning to go on a one or 2 week vacation than they will to go on the ultimate vacation, which is retirement.
Exactly. And the reason that is, my opinion is that, of course, the planning that trip is, there's gobs and gobs of immediate gratification. In asking a person to participate in our process of planning their future, this long-term vacation, well, it's going to take a little bit of time.
Yep.
And so that's part of it. But, of course, that's what I signed up, and I know you did too. If they will just let us guide them, if they'll just listen and give us some of the information we need, we'll do the heavy lifting And then we can map it out. And they, I mean, I have many stories, as I'm sure you do, of people that come in and they think they've kind of got things lined up, or they've, you know, they've got various investments, what you referred to earlier, some of these tactically purchased various investment strategies or funds. And as you were describing that, I was thinking, yeah, a lot of times it's just like a smattering of different things that got thrown on the plate as you walk through the cafeteria line.
Yep, that's exactly it. And it ends up being the portfolio for them for their life.
Well,
until a downturn comes.
Yeah, and and when the downturn comes, oh boy. Well, I tell you what, we'll have to watch to see how this plays out. The positioning you're doing for your clients, you know, as you know, we're going into a seventh year of a bull market. People ask me, well, when's the bear coming? I don't know. The crystal balls in my conference room, they don't work. but you know, they've got to be prepared. And what I tell people is they've got to be prepared for that to come next week or next month or next year. We could have 5 more years of a bull market. That's entirely possible, but we have to be prepared for that not being the case and to be positioned properly.
Yeah, I think if you're in your 40s and 50s, you got a little more elbow room to you know, you don't have to worry as much. But you know, if you're in your late 50s, 60s, 70s, you've got to be protecting that asset as much as you want to grow it.
Amen. Amen to that. Kelly Campbell, ladies and gentlemen, certified financial planner, chartered mutual fund counselor, chartered financial consultant, accredited investment fiduciary, CampbellWealth.com. The book, Fire Your Broker, and the recent article was over on U.S. News and World Report. Listen, Kelly, I appreciate you coming and being on the show, and we'll have to do it again.
That sounds good. Enjoyed it. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.